one of the things I'm asked a lot here past couple of weeks is, do you really think this freaky weather we've got going on is a sign of the end times? Do you believe that, you know, Mexico had an earthquake, an 8-point-something or other earthquake, followed by a tropical storm that hit it. Volcanoes are going off. There's diseases that we've never heard of that are being imported. Viruses that we've never had before are starting to show up. We've got immorality. We've got false religions going, multiplying and growing. We have churches who are without Christ. And we have a whole passel of countries that have leaders that are crazy, you know, and the things they're doing, you're just going, why would you threaten these things? Why would you plan to try to do this? And we have billionaires that are investing large sums of money to try to topple the government of the United States, and not just us, but other countries that are holding to a national pride. You know, we are, fill in the blank, whatever nationality you are. They're trying to topple all of it because they're wanting to form this one world government. So, yes and no. Yes, this could all very well be pointing toward that time. Yes, we know we are living in the last days, because in the book of Acts, when Peter stood up and the power of God had fallen and the people had heard the gospel being proclaimed in their own languages, Peter stood up and said, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days your young men will see vision, your old men shall dream dreams, and all this kind of stuff. So he said, this is the beginning of that fulfillment of what the prophet Joel. So yes, we are living in the last days, but are we living in the last days? Well, it sure is looking that way, folks. It just, every week, more and more stuff is piling on. Now, can I say 100%? Nope. I have friends and people who honestly are looking forward, because this particular time of year, since Jesus died on Passover, he was buried and rose on first fruits, and then we had the day of Pentecost show up 50 days later, and we have Pentecost Sunday in the spring, which is a Jewish holiday. The next holiday that's coming up is what we would call the Feast of Trumpets. And Jesus had said in the last days, the last trump shall sound, and he would return, and we would hear the voice of the archangel. And that particular holiday is coming up in a couple of weeks. And it lasts for like 7 days, 8 days, and then we have another holiday immediately following that one called the Tabernacles or Booths. So all this stuff is occurring, and there's people who say, well, you know, it's probably this time of year, and it could be. I don't know. Nobody really knows. I talk about this stuff, and I find it very interesting, and he wants us to love his appearing. Actually, if you do love and you're looking forward to the second coming of Christ, it says that you will receive a crown just for that idea, that you love the idea that he is going to come back. So I would join with the Apostle John when he wrote, amen, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But the big question isn't, because we can't solve it, isn't when is he going to show up? But with all this freaky weather and diseases and things that are going on in our newspaper, I was talking to one person in the, who was standing over here, and another person was standing over here, not Wiz at the store, and me and this person was talking about the second coming, and I was quoting something out of Revelation, and this person out of the blue said, well, that just sounds exactly like what's going on in our world today. And if people had an understanding of what the book of Revelation was saying, they would know that the time is getting closer all the time. And it's time they go back to the teachings of the Bible. And I'm just like, where did that come from? Because I never associated this person with being a strong Bible-believing person. And nothing against them. It's just something that they had never spoke out on before. And this time they was leading the charge out there going, folks, you know, they were in agreement. They were saying, this could be the time. And people need to listen. And the next question after, is it? Well, yeah, this is, it fits. Is, how shall we live during this time? If you're premillennial, which I happen to be, if you're premillennial, you believe that the church will be taken out before the tribulation gets really, really bad. Or you can believe it's halfway through. You can believe it doesn't happen till the very end of the tribulation period. You can believe it doesn't happen till Jesus just shows up. Your view really doesn't matter at this point, because what's going to happen is going to happen. But what is important is, how shall we then live? No matter what your theology is, how shall we live from now up until the time that He either raptures the church out or He Himself returns? How shall we make it through these times that we are in? How shall we endure? What should we be doing? The just shall live by faith. And so we're going to go over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And I'd like to read to you verses 2 through 5. Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, He who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith. The Apostle Paul asked three questions. The first question, and these are pertinent for the times in which we live, especially to us Christians. The first questions he asked the Christians that were the believers that were in Galatia, he says, this only thing would I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of flesh or by the hearing of faith? And of course, the answer is, and put it in common terms, how did you get the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? Did you get it by being good enough? Or did you get it because you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that your sins could be forgiven? And when you called upon Him, is that when you got the Holy Spirit? And of course, the correct answer is the very last phrase of that verse, by hearing with faith. That was the first question. How did you get the Holy Spirit in your life? By all your good works, or because you were listening and you had faith in what you were hearing? You were hearing with faith. The second question that comes out of this is, are you foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by flesh? That's just the question. You got the Spirit, and we know the answer was, by hearing with faith. He said, now, how are you being made perfect? How are you being matured? How is the Holy Spirit working in you? Are you being brought to maturity because you are being so good by the law? Or are you there receiving the blessings, the maturity, the perfection, the sanctification, because you are hearing the word of with faith? That would be the proper answer. No, it's not the works of the flesh. Yes, what's bringing perfection is that listening with faith. The third question is going to be in verse 4 and 5. Did you suffer so many things in vain? Indeed, if it is in vain. Here's the question. So then, does He who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Once again, the answer is, by the hearing of faith is how the Holy Spirit was supplied to us, and it is how the answered prayers that are coming to us is because we have faith in what we hear. And that word provide in the New American Standard, or in the King James, it says supply. How does God supply you the Holy Spirit? How does God supply the miracles that are occurring in your life? The word supply there means it's a constant flowing. It's like a spring. And I have this because of Arkansas. When I was a kid, we went down to visit the folks, and we pulled off to the side of the road, and Dad said, there's this spring here where I drank when I was a kid. And we pulled off, and there was this, looked like a hollowed out rock basin. It was a naturally occurring thing. And there was this water, clear, pure, drinkable water, and it just flowed constantly. You could see it just bubbling up into this almost wash pan shaped place, and you could see it just running off. And that water was bubbling up 24/7, 365 days a year. That water just continually flowed. Even if no one was there to take advantage of that water, to drink that water, or use that water in any way, it just continually flowed and continually flowed. And that's what it says. God is there supplying our needs in a continuous way. It's always there and it's always flowing. And He's saying, how do you get this? This miraculous babbling spring in your life? By being good enough? Or by hearing with faith? And when I talk miracles here, I'm talking about, and this is the way we should understand miracles, anytime that you pray a prayer and that prayer is supplied or answered by God, it doesn't have to have flash, it doesn't have to be lightning bolts, it doesn't have to be something that goes against the normal laws of nature. But if you pray a prayer and then it works out, boom, there it is, then that is a miraculous event, because the miracle was based in God's response to your prayer. So anytime you have answered prayer, that would be in the realm of miraculous. He said, that is how you're getting your supplies. That's how you're getting the answer to your prayers, is because there's this constant flowing there for any person who wants to take advantage. All we had to do is just pull out and, pull over on the side of the road. We could have got a cup. You could stick your hand in the water. You could stuck your face in the water and drank all the water you want, because it's just going to be more and more and more. You couldn't empty it out fast enough that it wouldn't overflow while you were even trying to empty it out. And it was right there. And He's saying, that is what is a source. That is a probability. I want a stronger word than probability. Basically, it's there if you want to avail yourself to it. But you're not going to be able to avail yourself to it if you think you're causing that water to bubble up, because you're being so good. It has availability to you because you're trusting in God and hearing His words. So just to go over it real quick, how shall we then live? First, it's always by hearing of faith, the hearing of faith. That's how we're lived. That's how we're to live. The just shall live by faith. By the hearing of faith, we can be saved. The just shall live by faith. We are perfected, accomplishing maturity in the Christian life, or sanctification, comes by the fact that we are listening to the Word of God and we believe what it says, and that will cause us to be sanctified. It's not because of our outward works or the things we're striving to do. If it was that, then people would have been saved by the law that Moses provided, and we would have had no need of a Savior. There would have been no need of a sacrifice, Jesus Christ. That would never have been needed, because we could work ourselves into salvation. But the whole point is, there is none righteous, no, not one. No, not one. But if we trust in the accomplished work of Jesus Christ, He says, not only will I save you, but if you trust me when you hear the word, you trust what I say, at that point, I will start bringing you to the level of maturity. And He says He supplies all of this, Holy Spirit, and answer to prayers, because we trust in the word that we hear. Supply, constant flowing, is always going to be there in all these areas for us if we have hearing, and that with faith. You go to the question, then why aren't we as individuals experiencing more of this in our lives. Now you got to go back to Hebrews chapter 3, and I've got to read several verses there. Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned and whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear if while promises remains to the entering of his rest, any one of you may seem to come short of it. For indeed we have good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. The quick explanation is all this is, why did God get mad? They heard from Moses, you follow me, there's going to be 10 plagues. God's going to lead us out of this country. And he did it with 10 plagues. And there was the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke by day and by night. He said, all of this is God, and he's going to take us to this place that was promised to our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a land flowing with milk and honey. They heard all that good news, and when they got to Kadesh Barnea, they balked. They did not go into the place that they were told to go into. They really didn't believe what they were told, and they balked, and they began it with, well, okay, before we go in, let's make sure that it really is a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's send in the 12 spies. And they went in, and then they came back out. There were 10 false prophets. Yes, they said, it is a land flowing with milk and honey. We saw grapes there that are just truly amazing. We saw all that. But the false prophecy, then they added, but we can't take the ground. Now God said, you enter into the land, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and I have delivered it to you. It is yours, it's ripe for the taking, just like the fruit was ripe for the taking that they brought back. And yet the 10 said, you can't trust the word of God, you can't trust what Moses has said. If we try, we will die. There was two faithful witnesses that were saying, God does not lie, and he said that he would get us out of Egypt. 10 plagues, he did. He led us around, he's given us water to drink. We're right there, we're at the place that he said we was going to go, and all we have to do is walk in there and take it. It's ours. God doesn't lie. But the children of Israel listened to the 10 false prophets. You know, there's a parable that Jesus talked about the sower going forth to sow the seed. And it said some of the seed was thrown out on rocky ground, and some was thrown out on the hard path, and others fell into, you know, other types of soil. But if we really believe the word of God and let that word believe and let that word take a real root, it will change our life. Even if you are on a hard path, even if your life seems to be concreted over and the blessings of God aren't flowing into your life at this point, if you know a word of God and you let it fall into a crack of concrete, I mean, I've seen little ash seeds fall into cracks. I've seen little mulberry seeds fall into cracks. And these little bitty, weak-looking saplings will start sprouting up. And as long as they are receiving the continual watering, like from that spring, those little trees will continue to grow. And if you come back years later, you'll see that they broke that concrete and they shove it apart, and they are growing and flourishing. And it's just like us. It said that when they sow the seed, there's birds that come down and try to eat the seed, because the devil doesn't want us to hear the word of God and receive it with belief. Because if we receive it with belief, there's going to be a continual supplying of water, supplying of blessing in there. And that word will continue to grow, and it will just be like shoving off the top of a tombstone. It will just crack it open and shove it out of the way. So that which was stopping us from having the joy of the Lord in our life and having the security and knowing those blessings, that seed, just that single seed, will keep shoving and working, and as it grows and matures, it will shove that concrete back so that our life can be better. Those people heard the good news, and the good news for them was, there's a land flowing with milk and honey, and it's yours if you'll just go up there and walk in when I tell you to do it. It's yours. It's right there. They had good news, but they didn't walk in and take it. In the same way, what's going on with us is the Word of God is being spread abroad in our lives. And some of us have accepted it to the point of saying, yes, I believe it and I am saved. But then we think, well, now, if I'm going to be blessed, and this is where false prophets come in, how do you get your blessing? By working really hard. No, Paul says, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you receive that blessing because you trust. They heard the word, they did not trust the word, and God wouldn't let them have the fulfillment of the promise that was made to them. We too can hear the word of God and then hear somebody explain it away and say, that doesn't apply to us today, and we will not enter into that promised rest or that promised blessing because we've not believed or received the word of God with faith when we hear it. He never promised us an easy life. He never promised us a rose garden. But here is a word of God that all of us know. I'm going to go with that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want. It's there. Receive that one little seed, no matter how hard your life is, receive that one little seed right now and say, I believe that. You've got two promises there. He will lead you, and you'll never run out of supply. So when you hear the word of God, any promise that's given to you, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack, add this on the right following it. God's word is true. Receiving it by faith. Don't understand it. Don't know how he's going to lead me. I don't know how he's going to meet my supply. It's not my concern how he does it. My concern is to say, yes, he will do it. Even when I don't see it, he is doing it. He is shepherding me. He is getting me in that place where I have no lack. God's word is true in my life, even though the world says, no, look how your life is going. It is not true. God's word is true. He leads and he supplies. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. God's word is true. Anytime that you receive a word or a promise of God, repeat that promise. You don't have to know how it's going to be fulfilled, but say that promise and say it afterwards. God's word is true. God's word is true. Till the point that you really believe it and you know it to be true and you can walk in faith because you know this. God is in control. He created everything in 6 days and then he rested everything. He even had the provision already made for our sins. Because you'll find it in the scripture where it says, Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. That just means before anything was created, Jesus had already accepted the position of being the Lamb of God who would be sacrificed for our sin. That provision was already made before we came into existence, before light came into existence, before light and dark were separated. The provision had been made in eternity past, and it's the same way with us. He completed everything. That means that every prayer, every answer to our prayers, he has already created, made provision for, and it's right there waiting. We can receive it when we receive His Word and walk patiently through this life following Him. We will receive that answer. He made that promise to Abraham, like they discussed in Sunday school. You are going to have a promised child. Years passed. Years passed. Decades passed. And yet, Abraham had received that. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and that child showed up. When we are given the Word of God, we are to say, this is true. The Word of God is true. Whether I communicate it properly or not, that's a whole different story. But when you hear the Word, you say, yes, that is true. God's Word is true. And I know that the supply, the answer to that promise, has already been created. God has made the provision for that answer way back on day number 6. He sat down and said, there, I'm at rest because all things are ready to be fulfilled, even those prayers of the people at Glenwood. The provision is there. And that's why he was upset with the people that in the Old Testament when the Israelites came out of Egypt. The provision was there for them to walk across that border from Kadesh Barnea into the promised land. It was there, but they heard the gospel, the good news preached to them, but they refused to go because they didn't accept it by faith. And he said, fine, you will not receive that provision that was there. And there was a prayer, there was a promise made that never got answered because they never believed it. 40 years later, their kids came along and he said, head up to Jericho. It's time to cross the river. It's time to cross the Jordan River. And they said, we're ready to go. We're ready to go. And he said, great. And he opened up the river and they went through and they conquered Jericho. And the beginning of all the entering into the promised land was set in commotion or into motion. We are to, and that's what it said in Hebrews, we are not to miss the opportunity to enter into His rest. And we do that by saying, this is the Word of God, and I rest in that. This is a promise made by God, and His Word is true. I rest in that. He has already answered my prayer, even before I prayed it. He's made the provision for my answered prayer before I got there. And I rest with Him in what He's already accomplished back before day 7. And I'm entering into that rest. I'm entering into that position of faith with Him. God knows, God has already made provision for all of your supply, from salvation to maturity to every step of your life all along the way. And sometimes we have hard roads to walk. It's like I've tried to help herd a few cattle in my day down a road, and that wasn't an easy task, and it wasn't pleasant for the cattle either, but they were going from a pasture that was almost overgrazed to a new pasture that they hadn't been into all winter and all spring long, and it was all grown and ready for them to go. It was a long, hard march for them to get there. And I'm thinking, just go to that other place. It's just a half a mile down the road. Just go to the other place. But they had other ideas. But the provision was already there and waiting for them. God's Word is true. We are to be those type of people who hear the Word, say, it is true, and I trust and rest in You for all of my answers and for all of my provisions. And God will always come through.